Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
And how's everybody today?
Blessed and highly
favored. Amen, because what you sow is what you reap. Amen. We are at the store for the next couple months or so. We'll be giving away bicycles. They're brand new. So we'll be giving 5 bicycles every Saturday at noon. The person must come. For the kids, they got to write their name, and then the name is drawn. So we'll be giving away around 40 bicycles or so. So we're also looking for sponsors. If an individual wants to sponsor a bike for a child, it's a minimum of $30 donation. And we'll put the name on or the name of their company or whatever they're representing. So we want to welcome everyone and anyone who knows businesses or people or individuals that are interested in blessing a kid in need. Amen. Another one of our projects that God establishes. He does keep us busy, doesn't he? You know, and so in that is because there's such a need, and because time is running out, and in this need there is God's desire is to rescue as many people as possible and to bless as many people as possible. He's in the rescue and the blessing. And there's so much that one of the problems that, I'll tell you, I felt the grief of the Holy Spirit in the arena that, you know, there's so much interruption in his will. There's just so much interruption. And it's not like he's interrupting it. We're allowing the interruption. And one of those areas that he said to me, he says, you know, people don't realize about the law of influence. And there is a law of influence. And in this law of influence, people are still living in the kingdom of self and not in the kingdom of God, even though they've got the right words, but there's the wrong spirit. Because there's still the spirit of self, selfishness, which interferes with God's will. So that his will is not fulfilled 100%. So many times, that's why he removes Saul from being king, because he started right, but then he began to drift. And as he began to drift, he began to compromise God's will, to where the Lord finally lifted his presence from him and removed him from position. And there are many individuals that have been, God has removed from position, and they don't even know it. So they're just still up doing whatever, but it's not being accounted for anything. Because when God appoints you for a position to fulfill, it must be done according to his will, not ours. That's where it's accounted. Does everybody understand? Would you turn to Romans 8, please? Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. You know, there's all kinds of laws that God has created. There are spiritual laws. There are physical laws. There are mathematical laws. There's all kinds of things that God has created. And so right now, the enemy is doing everything he can to break every kind of law that God has imposing. That's his focus. Dimensional laws, they're doing everything they can to break every kind of command God has released to defile what God is doing. And the problem is that there are many people proclaiming to be believers that are in support of it and don't even know that they're being used to break these laws because they're still living for themselves. In Romans 8 and verse 1, it says, there is what? Therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's a comma there. And the purpose of that comma is so that there be a pause so we can see the rest of it, so that it's not just spoken away. He said, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Now he's going to define those who are in Christ. He says, who do not walk according to the flesh. That word flesh means world. Means what? World. Who do not walk according to the world. Well, the world has their own laws. Hello? They have their own laws. And in their own laws, their laws promote self. They are disobedient to the laws of God. He says, this is powerful because it's very important. He says in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in his own flesh, So what did he condemn? The word says that he didn't come to condemn the world, right? He came to rescue the world. But I'm telling you, he's going to come to condemn the world. Does everybody understand it? He will come to condemn it and those who live according to it. Verse 4, it says something very powerful. It says that there is a righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the world, but according to the what?
Spirit.
So even if you're a believer, if you're walking according to the world, you are going to be condemned with the world. Does everybody get it? Now, this is where there's so much compromise. Compromise even in teachings. Compromising in the arena of preaching. Compromise. And the purpose of the compromise is because people are afraid of offending people. Well, if I can offend you to heaven, praise God. Amen. Does anybody get that? The problem is that some people get offended and they run. And the only reason why they run is because light exposes darkness. So if they're not willing to get rid of the darkness is going to take them into darkness. Verse 5. For those who live according to the world set their minds on the world. Does everybody get that? But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is what? That means worldly minded. That means it's all about you. And again, in this arena where it's not in that compromise and complacency, it's an arena where, well, this part's about God, but this part's about me. No, this part's about God, but this part's about me. No, that's not what he says. See, there's no gray area. It's either all about God or all about you. There is no compromise. There's no difference. So to be carnally minded, to be worldly minded is death, and but to be spiritually minded, all sold out, S-O-U-L-E-D, totally sold out, where there is no compromise, then there'll be life and peace. It says, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For that's the worldly mind. For it is not subject to the law of God. In other words, it hates the law of God. Nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot what? They can't please God. So we see that there's a law of the Spirit of life, which releases me and you from the law of sin and death. So when we're walking in the Spirit, where we are sold out to the Lord, is everybody with me? We are everything that you and I do, every decision we make, God's always acknowledged. Does this please you or displease you? Is either going to result in being released from the law of sin and death because you are fulfilling the requirement, or you are being disqualified and it will bring condemnation. Is everybody with me? In 1 John chapter 2. Does it mean you will make a mistake? Yes, you will. Everybody makes mistakes. That's why we repent quickly. We don't repent because we get caught. If you have to wait till you get caught, you got a lot of reaping to do. In verse 15, it says, do not love the world or the what? Is everybody with me? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Don't love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's real simple. I mean, these are things that we've heard over and over and over. The problem is that people are not understanding the influence. They're not even acknowledging what they're being influenced by. Why? Because when you begin to touch and agree with any part of the world, it begins to put walls between you and God. It begins to put blinders on. It begins to harden a heart. All of these things. Then there's compromise. There's complacency. Other things. And then the enemy creeps in even further. And he begins to put things between you and God. Work more hours. Look for more money. Do this. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because this is what the world is. The world is associated with lust of self and love of money. Lust of self and love of money. That's where the world's at. And he says, if you're going to live according to the world, you're going to disqualify yourself according to the law of the Spirit of life. That's called a law of influence. There is a law of influence. We'll get to it in a second. And verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Again, lust of self and love of money is of the world. That's why the word says you can't serve money and God. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So what does he tell us? He says, you cannot do the will of God if you're still living or touching, associating with the world. If there's still the lust of self and the love of money in your life, then you're disqualifying yourself for living in the Spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. That's why the word says something very important. We labor unto the Lord, not unto ourselves. We labor unto the Lord, not unto ourselves. See, one of the things that happens is when there's influence, and we talked about some of this before, there'll be a disorder. A fruit of influence of darkness is disorder. What do you mean by disorder? By priorities are out of order. When a priority is out of order, it's influenced by darkness. Think about where your priorities used to be when you first got saved. Are they still the same? If they're not, you're being influenced. Nothing should be different. Your priorities still should be first love, first love, first love, first love, first love. What can I do for you? What do you want me to do today? First love. Not what you can do for me, but what I can do. What do you want me to do for you? Has everybody got it? In verse 12, 1 Corinthians 6, 12. Would you read it with me? All things are what? Lawful for me, but all things are not what? Helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Do you know what? Let me share something with you. I know, and I know myself, that I cannot survive on one service a week. I can't survive on one service a week. I have to be in God's presence. And there's a presence that I can't get by myself unless he chooses to reveal himself. But there's a presence that I have to fight for in corporately. And it's amazing how many people think that they're going to just make it. You know what's going to happen? The less presence, the more influence. And then the problem is people can't discern what their influence is. And they say, oh, God told me this. Oh, baloney. Because it interrupts. It causes the loss of the first love. People are more in love with everything else than they are him. There's the influence. Verse 13. For foods are for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for what? Sexual immorality, but for the Lord and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the living, of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Everyone say, I'm not my own. I'm not my own. Say it again. Say it again. I'm not my own. So when you're not your own, do you need to surrender your will? Yes. Yes. For you were bought at a what? At a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So our body and our spirit is his. Listen, when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we said, I want a new life. Well, he gave us his life for us in this realm, so that we may be joined with his life in this realm. Does everybody get that? That we may be joined with his life in this realm and be rewarded by staying joined with his life. One of the rewards is eternal life. The greatest reward that you and I can have is to stand before him and hear him say, well, please. I mean, what better reward instead of being exposed for all the stuff that we said we were going to do, didn't do, all the promises that we made, all of these other things, all the hopes, all the words that were thrown out but never fulfilled any. 1 John chapter 5. Lust is sexual morality also. It's promoted by the world. Why is it promoted by the world? To disqualify us from the law of the Spirit of life. Remember, the enemy wants to influence you to disqualify you in every area he can. That's usually the first thing that pulls a person out of position. It's not the drugs and alcohol. It's the lust. You know, love is a choice, isn't it? Love is a choice. We choose to love. That means because we have a choice to love, that I can choose to not allow any other love interfere with my first love. This is the enemy's deception. He knows that if he can bring you into that place and disqualify us, that he has access to us to come and steal, kill, and destroy. See, one of the things, everything seems to be beautiful and wonderful for a period of time. Then bam! Why? Because people stopped forgetting where they came from, what he's done. They lose sight of the first love and the attitude of gratitude. Now they begin to worship the blessing instead of the blesser. They begin to worship their spouses, their children, their jobs, instead of the one who sent it all. They put more time into everything else than to be grateful and thankful to him. That's how the enemy influences us, to distract us. We get from being led by the Spirit to being misled by another spirit. We get from coming and being led to being pushed, from rest and peace to anxiousness, fear, anxiety, and stress. All of those are influence of evil, and they will interrupt God's will in our life. Is everybody okay? How many of y'all want to be qualified? Amen. We don't want to be disqualified. Well, people are disqualified and don't even know it. They don't even know it because they're caught up in the matrix, the kingdom of self. It's all about me. It's all about, if it best fits me, whatever. The first love is not there, even though the words say it, but it's the wrong spirit. 1 John chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5. You know, everyone has a call and there is a specific mission to be fulfilled. It's not always revealed. It unfolds. Because there's always training before God sends you. He always prepares you before he... And if the training is not completed, we will never fulfill that part. So one of the things the enemy does is he likes to interrupt so the training can't be completed. Then God will just use you for what he can there. But it's really not what you're called to do. And the worst thing that we can do is be successful in the wrong assignment. Amen? In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18, would you read it with me? We know that whoever is born of God does what? Does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. In other words, that word sin means presence of evil. He's not allowing the influence of the presence of evil in his life. He's keeping himself from the presence of evil. And then it says, and the wicked one does what? Not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the what? The sway, that's influence. Everyone say influence. Of the wicked one. What's his purpose of influencing? To disqualify me and you. So that we cannot fulfill the will of God and the mission that he sent us on. In verse 20, it says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. Here it is. That understanding is to begin to recognize what is your influence. People are so caught up, they don't even acknowledge if there's an influence. They just think everything is God. I was talking to someone on the phone. The person was saying, well, the Lord has the last say. Yes, he does have the last say. He's got the last say whether you're qualified or disqualified. But that person's thinking, well, I can do anything and God's got the last say. No, man. That's not how it works. That's why he said he warns us. Don't be unevenly yoked. He warns us in all of these things. He warns us to be dressed in the full armor of God. He warns us to warfare first. He tells us exactly what to do. Why? So our influence is from Him and not from the enemy. It's time to wake up. It's incredible. I'm seeing all of these people go left and right and all around the place. Why? Because they're not acknowledging influence. They're moving out of God's time, and they're being totally misled. And let me tell you, the end result is disastrous every time. Hallelujah. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in Him. Know Him in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from the world. The influence of the world, which is called idols. There is this way of the wicked one. That influence is promoting the law of influence. Listen, there is a law of influence. Here's the law. Let me share with you. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Oh, glory. Oh, sheesh. Is everybody there? In verse 6. Hallelujah. Let's speak it together, okay? Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. As he thinks in his heart, so he is. So that influence is trying to get you to what? Think. It's a thought. As he thinks, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. That's where a person's got the right words, but the wrong spirit. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. Now look at this, verse 9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. As a man thinks, as a man hears, so is he. This is called the law of influence. Because as a man hears and believes, so he'll be. By hearing, thinking, seeing, feeling, dreaming, desiring, all of these things is a law of influence, which is trying to influence me and you. And it's either, and if you can't discern whether it's from God or not, then you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Does everybody get it? As a man hears, as he believes, he receives, he becomes. Law of influence. The problem is people are not even acknowledging what their influence is. And Matthew 18. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things about walking in the Spirit is you know truth and you can see. And you can see to the You see the end result. And believe me, I've seen people make decisions that I know what the end result is. And it's coming. Do I pray that they awaken before the end result comes? Yes. I hope that things will change. That's where the word says all things can work to the good. Why have to work out everything all the time when it's not God's perfect will? Matthew 18 and verse 19. Would you read it with me? Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now, here's something powerful. He says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So let me ask you this. If the influence is coming from the devil and you agree with it, is it going to come to pass? Yes. And then who's in the midst? He is. Do you understand that? If you can't discern your thoughts of influence, you are either rejecting God and accepting the devil or rejecting the devil and accepting God. To touch and agree by hearing, it is also a law of influence. To touch and agree. To touch and agree. And then you're going to allow the presence of evil or the presence of God, one or the other. And the presence of evil will always mislead you. And he always promotes desire. He promotes a desire that is overwhelming. It's called lust. And he promotes the wrong desire. Is everybody with me? What does he do then? Then he causes interruption. It causes the arena where there's the loss of first love. You forgot where you came from. Now you're busy doing your thing instead of God's thing. Genesis 3. The law of influence can bring life or it can bring death, one or the other. And you will tell the law of influence by your priorities. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. You know, the word tells us and warns us over and over, many will fall from the faith, where? Taking heed, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons in the latter days. Is it happening now? He expresses it. And he said, don't listen, if you're not willing to hear, you're going to harden your heart. But if hearing, it's amazing how some people will hear what they want to hear when they want to hear it, but then they don't want to hear what they don't want to hear. I don't want to hear that. Or they allow the enemy to just come in and take anything that they want from them because they're really not hearing, they're only listening. They're just going, yeah. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart. The problem is you won't let him mold it. And when we don't let him mold it, it becomes hardened. Everything just bounces off. And we just go about doing whatever we think is of God, and it's not of God at all. Because if God didn't say it, it ain't God. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. It's amazing how everything goes back to the garden. You know what I'm saying? And he said to the woman, he what? He spoke to the woman. And she was in front of him and saw him. And he still deceived her. So now you've got serpents that are invisible and are speaking to us. But we have the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's to make what's unseen seen. The problem is this. If you're too caught up in you, you can't see. He said to the woman, you shall not surely die. When she told him, yeah, the Lord said, we're going to die if we eat of your stuff. Nah. It's still going on today. It's not done with. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God said, you can't eat, nor shall you touch it and agree with it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to you, you ain't going to die. God's a liar. He's just holding something back from you. You know, that's what the enemy says to individuals. That's why they reject authority. That's why they reject counsel. That's why they reject correction. And they misdirection. And they go unprotected. Pride's a killer. And the end result is the same. Pride goes before what? Fall. It's just a matter of time. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die, for God knows that in that day you eat of, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God. Yeah, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You're going to be just like God. Man, wrong. That's how the world thinks. Hallelujah. From words to thoughts, then memories. Words, thoughts, and memories. Remember, when two agree. So the enemy wants to get you in the present to agree with something. Has everybody got it? And if you reject that, he'll try to bring something from the past to get you to agree with because of memories. And when you agree with it, as a man thinks, it what? It comes. Why? That's called the law of influence. It's a law. And then when we do that, you know what it does? It disqualifies us from the law of the spirit of life. Oh, hallelujah. What you agree with will bring the presence of God or the devil. Does everybody understand that? Listen, it's getting worse out there. Getting worse. People are giving up their first love. And they're being influenced. And they're so busy doing everything but what God is asking them to do. James chapter, let's go to Galatians 3. You know, people that are under demon management have to stay busy to stay free. And it's amazing how the world always comes to you and somebody says, hey man, how you doing? I'm blessed. Or they say, are you busy? Are you staying busy? Yeah, I'm busy. Okay, I guess busy means success. How about deception? How about delusion? How about wrong influence? Hallelujah. There's an area of being led, not misled. Galatians 3 and verse 1, let's speak it together. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Amen. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has what? Bewitched you that you should not obey the truth. before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Look at this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by what? By what? By what? Hearing of faith. Why? Because it's the ministry of the Spirit, which means breath. Are you so foolish? Are we so stupid? Having to be begun in the Spirit and now being made perfect by the world. Now people's success comes by what they do for the world instead of what they do for God. Everybody, I want to get that in there. Their success comes by what they do for the world instead of what they do for God. What they own and what they've done. Are you so foolish to begin in the Spirit and now being perfected by the world? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. Look at when a life changes, that's a miracle. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the what? Hearing of the Spirit. Why? Because as a man hears, as a man thinks, he becomes. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. Wow. Only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. Therefore, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "And you, all the nations, will be blessed." So then those who are of the faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the what? Curse. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them." But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just live by what? Yet the law is not of faith. The world is not of faith. The world depends on the world. Amen? Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Wow. Again, hearing is speaking, isn't it? Speaking is hearing. Nothing can be heard unless something's spoken. So hearing, when you hear something, it's because something has been spoken. And speaking is associated with breath. So when something's spoken, it must be breath. And spirit means breath, doesn't it? The law of influence causes thoughts and memories. What you agree with, again, will either bring the presence of God or the presence of the devil. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Hallelujah. We have a teaching called Attack of the Voices. And it's amazing. Because that's, you know, we're fighting voices. We're fighting the voice. We're fighting influence. That means we're fighting a voice. You know, it's like, did you ever see that invisible ink? You know? It's like there's invisible ink all over the place with words. But it's our responsibility to make them show, to expose them. That's why it's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become what? Seen. If you don't, you won't know what your influence is. You know how many people react to the influence? They're reacting, constantly reacting, never taking the moment to even consider where did it come from. And then they react, which causes them to sow in the flesh, and they reap corruption. And it continues and keeps them in the state of deception. Verse 12, James 1, verse 12, blesses the man who endures temptation from the world. Why? He endures influence. Does everybody get it? He exposes the influence in his life. For when he has been approved, what's he gonna? Well, that means he's been qualified. Why? Because if you don't expose your influence, you will be disqualified. He will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say he's tempted by God. God ain't tempting you. Demons are. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's what? How's he drawn away? Influence. Lust, love of money, removing the first love, forgetting where you came from. Losing the attitude of gratitude and rejecting authority. He is drawn away by his own desires and then enticed. In other words, hook, line, and sinker. last one is called sinker, because you're going to sink at the end. No one escapes when you bit the bait. You must cut the line and spit it out. Some of us are still walking around with hooks all over us. Verse 15. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what? Death. Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every precious gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or showing or shadow of turning. The problem is most people don't even realize that some of these gifts, listen, God releases gifts, doesn't he? He's out to help us. But how many of you know that the devil will promote it? Oh, he loves to give you something that's going to interfere with God's will. I could be there all day. Temptation is the influence of the world. Amen? Now, let's go a little bit further. Hallelujah. Verse 18. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. Why? Because he spoke it, it became breath. We are influenced. That we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let everyone be what? Be what?
Swift.
Come on, say it. What?
Swift,
swift to what?
Swift.
Hello? 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 Wait a minute, who told me that? Wait, I sense that influence. I got a thought. Where'd it come from? Oh, it's okay. I'll just take that thought and let it just linger for a little bit. Let it get watered a little bit more. Oh, there's another one. Oh, there's a... Wait a minute. Now they're all coming. Why? Because I let that one in. Because I let that one in. Now they've come with gifts. They come to offer you something. They offer you the world and death. But they don't tell you that death is involved in the offering. Because you're the offering. Hello? Does everybody get it? They don't want to tell you that they're going to offer you up to Satan. Because that's what they do. And we allow them. Hallelujah. Be swift to hear. That means we need to discern the law of influence. Swift to hear. And what else? Slow to what? Wrath or react. 1 Chronicles 21. Glory! Law of influence. I pray you are influenced today by the right influence. 1 Chronicles 21. Glory. Okay. Is everybody there in verse 1? What does it say? Is everybody there? 1 Chronicles 21. It's on page. No. It's on your page. It's right after 1 Chronicles 20. Hallelujah. In verse 1, let's read it. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. Now wait a minute. Satan stood up against Israel. Why? Because David was representing Israel. So he stood up to David. Does everybody got it? In other words, he stood up. How are you going to stand up? How was he standing up? By what? Influence. He stood up. And so David said to Joab, and to the leaders of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. Now God told him, do not number. Do not number. But David was influenced. It says Satan influenced David. He convinced him to number the people of Israel. And Joab answered, may the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But, see, Joab knew also what God had told David. He said, but my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require this thing? In other words, come on now, do you remember? Why should he be a what? Cause of guilt in Israel. Whoa! See, people don't realize that when you're influenced by the enemy, there is a ripple effect. Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Then Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to David. All Israel had 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not count Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. Wow. The king's word was abominable to Joab. So he wouldn't go count those who took care of the what? Tabernacle. Does everybody get this? So Joab disobeyed the king, but he obeyed God in one area. And God was what? God was what? Displeased with this thing. Therefore, he what? He struck Israel. Wow. So David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. So David recognized he did something stupid. He took the wrong influence. Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself that I may do it to you. Listen, there we go again. It's the law of what? Sowing and reaping. So David, even though he did it, he repented. Did he have to reap? Yes, but the reaping came upon him. See, people don't realize and how the family gets affected because of what we did. Does everybody get it? How the family gets affected because somebody does something in the family. How the house gets affected because somebody does something. There's a ripple effect always, always. Same thing with accursed items. Why? Listen, when there's disobedience, that person becomes a cursed item. And then it's hard to defeat your enemy. Same thing. And the Lord says, okay, choose one of the three. But you got to choose one of the three because something must be done. Because there's a law God created. What you sow is what you reap. If you sow it to the world, you reap what? Corruption. If you sow it to the Spirit, you reap life. 2 Peter 2. And that sowing and reaping law is at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. You can read it. Nobody escapes it. 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 1. 2 Peter 2 verse 1. But there were also what? False prophets among the people. You think they're releasing false influence? Amen. They know the law of influence. Even as there were, there'll be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves what? Swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be what? Blaspheme. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Go to verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, which is influence, deceptive influence, they allure through the lust of the flesh, that's worldliness, the kingdom of self. Amen? Through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error, who know the truth. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also is brought into what? Bondage. I'm telling you, there are people that have been taken captive in bondage, thinking that they're still doing God's will, and they're not. For if after they had escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But of course it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow having washed, and her wallowing in the mire. In other words, the end result is disastrous. It's dangerous unless a person is willing to turn. No one escapes it. Zechariah 3. Hallelujah. So there's a lot of false doctrine out there, isn't there? It's causing wrong influence. It's causing interruption in God's will. And the end result will be death. In Zechariah 3, verse 1, would you read it with me? Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. He can kill 185,000 people. He encamps around those who fear God. When you lose the fear of the Lord, he goes too. And the fear of the Lord is reverence, honor, and respect. So Joshua the high priest was standing before the angel of the Lord. Look out here. And what? Satan standing at his right hand to what? oppose him. Now, does the angel of the Lord carry the presence of God? Yes. Does Satan carry the presence of evil? Yes. Were they both in the same place? Yes. So don't tell me a believer can't have a demon. Amen? And he was standing there to oppose him. What was he trying to do? Influence him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem to rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with what? Filthy garments, and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity, your sin, your transgressions from you, and I will clothe you with what? Rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord, what? Stood by him. Then the angel admonished Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, if you will walk in my ways, if you will keep my command, if you will discern my influence and reject the influence of Satan's kingdom, it will cause you to walk in my ways, and you will hear my commands, and you'll keep them. Then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge over my courts, and I'll give you places to walk among those who stand here." So who's always trying to oppose you? Satan's kingdom, demonic forces, serpents, demons, fallen angels, principalities, wickedness in heavenly places, rulers of darkness. They're trying to oppose you. They're trying to influence you. I can't emphasize this enough of the distractions that the enemy is bringing and causing people to lose their first love, even though they say it, but it isn't there. What did Jesus say to Peter? Here's Peter as a revelation, remember? "Oh yeah, you're the Christ, hallelujah. You're the one that came to save the world, yeah." And then Jesus turns around and says, "Listen, guys, I got to go into, I'm going to have to suffer. They're going to crucify me, but I'm going to do it for you." And Peter says, "No way! No way, man. I can't let you go do that." And Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." "Oh, why?" "Because your desire is for the will of man. Your desire is for the will of man." Does everybody get that? "But my desire is for the will of the Father." You know, there's something that must be understood. Jesus came to fulfill the will of the Father. That's that. Does everybody understand that? You know, we hear so much, "Well, Jesus came to rescue us." Yeah, okay, he came to save. He came to do the... No, he came to do the will of the Father, and that is that. The part of rescuing me and you is a part of the will. But everything is associated with, he came to fulfill the will of the Father. That is it. And that's what you and I are supposed to do. Fulfill the will of the Father. Amen? He says that he's come to, he came to encourage me and you. Go to Jeremiah 29 for a minute. Jeremiah 29. You know, there was a movie years ago, and it was with this wrestler, and but you know, it's foul language in it and stuff. But if you can get rid of all that stuff, it's pretty powerful. Because he found these glasses, and he would put on these glasses, he began to see different people. He began to see demons that were people. He began to see all the influence of the words where it said, "Great sale today," and it said deception behind it when he put on the glasses. Everything that all the posters and all the words all over the place, man, when he put on the glasses, meant a whole different meaning because of influence. And we need to put on the eyes of the Lord to begin to see the true influence of the world. Look at all the commercials. Look at all the billboards and all the advertisement. That's all it is an influence to lust of self and love of money. They hangle carrots. Dangle. Make false promises. Listen, if God, when God blesses you with something, there ain't no strings attached. Amen? Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Read it with me. "For I what? I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you what? A future and a what? And a hope. Look at verse 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will what? Listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when? When you search me with all of your heart, not with your mind. See, people are still living out of the mind and not the heart. That's called living out of the world and not the spirit. This is how he thinks about me and you. Good things and a future. That's his influence towards me and you. And I'm going to close at 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Hallelujah. We're going to start at verse 1. Let's speak it together. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to what? To establish you and to what? Encourage you concerning your faith. In other words, he was giving him influence, wasn't he? How many of you know counsel, correction, direction is influence? That no one should be what? Shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before, when we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, or that influence, and our labor might be in vain. In other words, that you would be taken out by the wrong influence. Amen. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all of our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what things can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. I know you're preparing us because the enemy is lurking, seeking whom he may deceive, destroy, and access. We ask, Lord, for the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment that we may be sensitive to those things, making what is unseen to become seen, discerning the influence, that influence would be accepted from you and rejected from the enemy, that we may give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen.